Do you like the show and you want to help support us? Do you want us to stay ad-free? Do you want extra episodes every month? Of course you do. Then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. Become a Patreon supporter of this very show. We are back for another Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And proudly sponsored by Pepsi, Derek Diamond.
The Pepsi man himself, Derek Diamond.
Yes, that's going to be a fun chat a little bit later on. But for right now, I'm just Derek Diamond.
I can't wait. Yeah, I had to scrub the Yo-Noid from my mind this last week. So I've been playing a lot of... Days Gone for the PS4, and holy crap, that game's good. I can't stop. I played for like 5 hours last night.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I couldn't tell you the last time I've sat down and played a game for 5 hours.
I mean, it was, you know, I took breaks here and there, but man, it was a night.
Yeah, I know Joey Image has been selling you that for quite some time, so I'm sure he's happy that you finally bit the bullet and have been playing it.
Yeah, because I had been avoiding it for a while, but I finally broke down, got it, and as soon as I played first couple of hours, I texted him. I was like, yep, you were right. This is good.
That's awesome.
Why are you disappointed in my facial hair, Rampage? Because it's growing back?
You're pretty close to being back to normal.
Yeah, about another quarter inch on the chin, and I'll be good, back to normal.
I envy the fact that your facial hair grows so quickly.
Yeah. No more stupid bets. So next time it's going to be just a monetary bet. I'm not betting with Wally anymore because he always wins bets and I don't like it.
Yeah, Wally is very rarely wrong.
I guess Jessica took over Rampage's account and she's she's on right now.
Oh, well, welcome, Jessica. Thank you for watching.
Yeah, how's your week?
It's been pretty good. I've been playing, funny enough, one of the newer Nintendo Switch Online games, one that I had heard about a long time ago, Fire and Ice for the NES. I've been playing that quite a bit. It's actually a pretty fun game. And then I recently got Crash Bandicoot 4 for the Switch. It was finally put on the Switch, so... Dabbled into that a little bit, not too terribly much, but I like what I've seen of it so far.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to get back into it. As soon as I'm done with Days Gone, I'm going to jump back on the Switch. My Switch has been kind of neglected the past couple of weeks, so need to get back on that.
Yeah, no, the Switch has been really the only thing that I've been playing. I couldn't tell you, honestly, the last time I fired up my PS4. Yeah. Probably to watch a Blu-ray. But, I mean, it's...
Yeah, that was mine for a while, but, I like to play occasionally. Like, last couple of games, you know, I played, like, Resident Evil 3, Resident Evil 2, and I kind of am more excited about it now. Because, you know, the PS5 is out. And the PS4 games are just going to start getting cheaper. So now I get to go back and play all the stuff I missed.
Yeah, no, that's the good thing about it. Yeah, we have Thad Matta in the chat. He says Resident Evil 2 is insane, and he just bought the remake.
Nice. Welcome to the chat, Thad Matta.
Yeah, absolutely. And also shout out to, I guess, Rampage and Jessica, as well as Bethany Fox, who are... watching live. Funny enough, this is our last Thursday live show because we'll be moving the show back to Wednesdays this upcoming Wednesday, which I believe is April 7th at 8 p.m. So
yes, next week we'll be moving back to Wednesdays, so everybody will be happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it'll be good to get it back to Wednesdays, I think. So should be fun.
I want to give a shout out to one of our listeners. I actually met him at Pensacon was it last year or year before? His Twitter handle is Jester8082. He and a buddy has just have just started a coffee company called Brez Coffee Company. It's at Brez Coffee Co. All one word. It's a coffee company made by gamers for gamers. So they've been testing out some different, you know, like different kind of coffees and stuff. And they're actually going to be sending me a sample bag here pretty soon because I like the medium roast. So they're going to send me some to try out. And we might be working with them in the future on some stuff. So go give them a follow on Twitter. Brez Coffee Company and Jester8082. Give him a shout out on the show.
I know exactly who you're talking about. I'll check out their coffee. I guess I missed that on Twitter. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, I actually, if you look back on my timeline, I did a repost of their, a couple of their things. So just go follow them.
I like Bethany Fox's idea, NCR Coffee.
I think that might be coming in the future. You never know. It's something we kind of talked about. So we'll see.
NCR Coffee. I like the sound of that.
NCR French Roast.
Wee wee.
Wee wee poo poo. Wee wee. It makes you wee wee and poo poo.
That would be our coffee.
Yeah. Anything else before we go into the news this evening?
I don't believe so. It's been a little bit more lax this week as opposed to my hellacious work week last week. So.
Oh, yeah.
Been pretty good. So. Yeah, we got some really good stuff to talk about, so let's dive into the news.
Yeah, I'm going to put that link in the chat real quick, at Brez Coffee Co. Mild roast. Yeah, they have different kind of roasts. I had to put a space in there. They won't let you do at in the chat room. That's weird. Okay. All right, here we go. Time for the news, everybody. This was a big story this week. I got this one on MSN.com. Microsoft could finally be the king of gaming if it spends $10 billion on Discord. Buying Discord can make Microsoft the gaming behemoth it's always wanted to be. It's considering dropping a cool $10 billion on video game chat app Discord, which we are using right now. If the software giant does take the plunge, it could help Microsoft Xbox brand finally overtake arch nemesis Sony in its decade-long fight for gaming supremacy. With Discord, Microsoft would instantly access insights about the kinds of games people play, not just on its own platform, but on Sony's and Nintendo's, as well as on mobile devices. That knowledge could help Microsoft develop games that appeal to more people, something that it's been laser-focused on for years. What's more, it is a fast-growing social network. Of course, we use it for the Nerd Cave Retro Discord. And it's just more blah, blah, blah about how, you know, Microsoft, it just goes, you know, spends billions of dollars on everything. I just hope when they take over it, they don't take over and then basically leave it in the trash bin like they did with Skype and a number of other things that they have taken over the years, because I like Discord. We use it every week here for this show. We use it for the Nerd Cave Retro Discord. I hope they don't put all the stuff that we use it for behind a paywall, because I don't understand how they're going to make money off of Discord, honestly.
Yeah, and that's my thing, too, is what are they going to do to make their money back, essentially? Yeah. But and plus, you hit the nail on the head with Skype. At one point, it was the biggest online communication platform out there, and they bought it, and no one ever talks about Skype anymore. No one uses Skype anymore. I mean, that's a whole separate story for another time. I mean, Skype never really improved their product.
It just got worse and worse as it went on. Every time they did an update, they made it just incrementally worse than the patch before. And then of course Zoom has pretty much just, everybody's using Zoom. Zoom went from making like this little, you know, chat thing that a couple of guys made to being like earned like what, $6 billion just this last year. Like, yeah, there Zoom is the top of the heap, but when it comes to what we do and what gamers need it for, Discord is pretty much the top of the heap.
I wish I had bought stock in Zoom right before the pandemic hit.
Yeah, the Nitro thing for Bethany Fox brought up Nitro for Discord. I don't really know what that's for. I never really looked into
it either.
They were pushing really hard for me to subscribe to it. I didn't really look into it. I don't really care because I don't know what it's for. Like, the name doesn't tell me what it's for. Like, I just don't know.
Yeah. But my biggest fear, if this happens, would be that Discord, to me, is fine the way it is. Like, you can tweak a couple of things and maybe make some new additions, but the way that it works overall is really good.
Yeah.
It's really easy to use. And I would worry that Microsoft would be like, okay, well, we want to do this with it. We want to do this with that certain aspect of it. And then they would completely screw it up.
No one would want
to use it anymore.
I don't want them to overcomplicate it. I don't want them to start taking away things and not putting, basically what they did with Skype. Like, Skype was an easy to use, calling app that we used to use, and it became unusable. They just broke the hell out of it, and now it's festering in the landfill of the internet at this point.
I went back, and when I re-released my Laura Hall interview last week, it was recorded through Skype. And when I listened back to the audio, I was like, ooh, ooh, it was bad.
Yeah, when I listen to a lot of podcasts that use Skype, you can tell. Like, I can tell when they're using Skype because there's clipping, it just sounds bad. I listened to the latest Smodcast today, and he was talking with Ice Cube, and they mentioned they were using Skype, and it sounded like dog shit. It did.
Why would you use Skype when Zoom has been relevant for now a year and it's a much better platform?
Yeah. Apparently Nitro, it allows you to boost the server so it's better, and it also allows you to use GIF emojis. Hmm. I did not know that.
Interesting. I agree with Bethany Fox. Discord is a way better version of Skype.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's no debate.
You couldn't do community stuff like we do in Skype. I mean, if you're not a part of the Nerd Cave Discord, you're missing out. We have a whole community over there. It's like our own nice little world where people are nice and we talk to each other about cool stuff. We make jokes, we share memes, and it's the perfect getaway when I've had enough. Like if I get frustrated with like Facebook or Twitter, I go, that's when you see me the most in Discord, because I'm just like, I need niceness, I need good people.
That makes sense. Let's see, our next story comes to us, this was an email from Armez Jackson, and comes to us from NintendoEverything.com. Doom 1, 2, and 3 getting physical release on the Switch with Doom the Classics Collection. This is actually really cool. Mm-hmm. After they were originally released digitally, the first three Doom games are getting a physical release on Switch. Doom 1, 2, and 3 will be sold together as part of the Doom Classics Collection. It will be offered standalone as a special edition and a collector's edition. The special edition includes a key card replica, a Doom disc USB, steelbook, and more. The collector's edition contains everything from the special edition, as well as a Doom shadow box with lights and sound inside a premium windowed DE box. And pre-orders kick off April 2nd at 10 a.m. Eastern time.
Did you see the 3-inch floppy that comes with it?
Yes.
Oh, 8 gigabyte USB floppy with the original sticker on it. I want it now.
Yeah, I want just the floppy.
Yeah.
Like, if I could pick one thing, would be just the floppy disk. Like, that is so freaking cool.
Dude, that just brought me right back to 11th grade computer class.
Yep. I have very vivid memories of, I never played Doom, but I remember watching it quite a bit watching my uncle play it. So
we had Doom and Duke Nukem. It was who could get done with their work first, so you could run to the front of the class and get either Doom or Duke Nukem out of the little tray she had up there. Oh, dude, I forgot. I was in the thrift store the other day, and I found an old Apple, plastic case that held the old 8-inch floppies.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost bought it just for the nostalgia purposes. Still had the old Apple logo on it, you know, the rainbow Apple logo.
Yeah,
on it.
That's
it
awesome.
So cool. It's like, I want this, but I just can't justify spending money on something that I'm going to look at once and go, look how cool that is, and then never look at it again.
Yeah, it'd be more for like a display thing, or like if you had friends over, you could be like, oh, come look at this.
If I had some actual,
you have a fun nostalgia.
Yeah, if I had some actual old floppies to put in it, I would have gotten it. But who the hell has 8-inch floppies anymore?
Yeah, I remember when those things were still the pinnacle of computer storage.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the CDs came along and changed everything. Now you could say CDs are obsolete now, too.
Oh, I know. This next story also is an email from Armez Jackson from NintendoEverything.com. 90s retro arcade adventure game Arcade Paradise announced for Switch. Wired Productions and Nosebleed Interactive. I love that. Nosebleed Interactive. Today announced Arcade Paradise, a 90s retro game arcade adventure game due out later in 2021. The 90s retro arcade adventure game, with the keys to the family laundromat, Ashley decides to transform the business and give the sleepy town of Grindstone something to get excited about. Stay one step ahead of your father, manage and invest profits, and build your way to your very own arcade paradise. Over 35 arcade games, each fully realized with its own gameplay stories, missions, and high scores to set, inspired by three decades of gaming. So I guess what the game is going to be is you actually build an arcade out of a laundromat, and then you get to put these different games in there, and you get to play the different games. This actually sounds really cool.
It's a video game about video games.
I like it.
Yeah, that's a really cool concept. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that has like a similar storyline to this.
I know. It's sort of like a sim, plus
yeah,
get to play all these cool retro games in it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, this would be cool. I got to watch the trailer when we're done.
Yeah, me too. It doesn't say what games you get to play in it, but I guess they're probably not licensed games. They're probably just sort of like knockoffs. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I love how in the picture you see the one washing machine.
Yeah.
Among all the other arcade cabinets.
I like that a lot.
I'd love to follow this story.
Yeah.
Because it says it's due out later in 2021. I'm curious as to when.
I know.
Because I'd love to check this out.
Yeah, it doesn't give an exact date. It just says later in the year, so doesn't give a price or anything either, but we'll keep an eye on it because I definitely want to play that.
Yeah, same. Our last story comes to us from NintendoLife.com, one of our favorite sites.
Mm-hmm.
This sealed Super Mario Brothers could become the most expensive video game collectible ever. And I love the fact that they used the old school art at the top of this. Remember last year when we reported that a sealed copy of Super Mario Brothers on the NES sold for an eye-watering $114,000? Well, there's another copy being auctioned at the moment, which currently stands at $310,000 and still has 7 days remaining before the auction closes. My God. Assuming that the price rises in the next few days, there's a very real chance that a copy of one of the most common NES games will become the most expensive video game collectible of all time, surpassing even the Nintendo PlayStation, of which there is currently only one known unit on the open market. I'm trying to see what's so special about this specific copy. There's a Twitter link on here.
Well, it says that this one, like the one that sold for $114,000, it has a cardboard hang tab, but it is a later production run.
I gotcha. Just seeing that price tag on it.
I know.
Just the fact that it's six figures alone, but $310,000.
Yeah.
And there's some people out there who have way too much money.
Yeah, and not us. I can tell you that.
Nope. No, it is not.
Not unless we get the Patreon a little bit higher.
We got a little ways to go, but yeah. I feel confident we can get there.
I mean, if I had the money, I probably would have. I mean, if I had like millions of dollars to just throw around, yeah, I'd pay that much for it. But
I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I would love to be able to just walk in this auction, drop down like half a million.
Yeah.
Take my copy and walk out.
Here, go buy yourself something nice.
Yeah. Don't go spending it all in one place.
Yeah. Now it is time for this month in video game history.
Yes.
In April of 1985, Atari Games releases Paperboy with a controller modeled after bicycle handlebars. I will say that I may have played this a few times in the arcade, but I played this mostly on the NES.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed like the physical arcade cabinets that have a specific controller that's modeled after the game, like this with having the bicycle bars. I think it's really cool. I know of Paperboy. I've personally never played it. I know there was a sequel to it, I believe, that came out for the Super Nintendo.
I think so.
Because I've seen it in the retro gaming stores here in town. You know, even as far back as like late last year. So I know the sequel is, at least from my experience, somewhat common in retro game stores, but never played either one of them.
Yeah, I used to love Paperboy on the NES. I don't know what happened to my copy of it. I might have to just get one just to have. Maybe I'll do a review of it.
Yeah. You should review Paperboy 1 and I'll do Paperboy 2.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll do Paperboy month.
Yeah.
On April 21st, 1989, Nintendo releases Super Mario Land on the Game Boy, which introduces Princess Daisy to the Mario series. I love the Mario Land games. I think they're some of the most underrated Mario titles out there. I remember never being able to beat the original Mario Land as a kid because to me it was just impossible to do.
Yeah.
Years later, I go back and play it and it's like the shortest of the Mario Land games. Yeah. And I'm like, God, was I really like that bad of a gamer growing up? But
yeah, well, we were kids.
Yeah.
And those games were designed to frustrate us.
But I have a soft spot for the Mario Land games, and you can go back and see that this was made in the very early stages of the Game Boy, because the graphics are not very good, whereas they take a huge leap in Mario Land 2. And in a way, you kind of look at it as, you know, comparing the look of Mario 1 to Mario 2 for the NES.
Yeah. They definitely got better with their graphics on the Game Boy as they went along.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. April of 1990, Konami releases Snake's Revenge, a sequel to Metal Gear for the Nintendo Entertainment System in North America, developed without the involvement of Hideo Kojima. I think it's the only game that was developed without his involvement.
I believe you're right. Rampage says that I'm a poor fool.
Yeah.
Yes, that is true.
I was never into the Metal Gear games. Never really, like I said, that the whole, what do you call it? Stealth.
Yeah.
Stealth gaming has never really been my thing. Maybe I should go back and give it a try and see what it. Because I do remember playing Metal Gear, but I don't remember if I rented it or maybe borrowed it from a friend or something, but I remember just not liking it as a kid. And even to this day, I do not like stealth games at all.
They're not really my favorite either. You know, I tried playing, was it Arkham Asylum? Was the first of the Batman Arkham games, and that's very stealth-based, and I just couldn't get into it.
That's the only game that I like that has stealth components, because it felt easy in that game.
Oh, Rampage says I'm a poor fool for offering to review Paperboy 2. Well, I mean, I'm a man, so what? Might as well review Paperboy 2.
Isn't the original Metal Gear where the meme, all your base are belong to us, comes from?
I'm not sure.
Because of the poor translation.
I'm not sure, but I remember that was a big thing on the internet back in the day when that was like first discovered.
I remember cigarettes gave you energy.
Wait, are you saying they don't?
Well, I'm not saying either way, but, you know, according to Metal Gear, it gives you energy and heals wounds.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think the American Health Association would agree with that.
Someone walks up to you, why are you smoking a cigarette? Well, Solid Snake said to smoke cigarettes and I'd have more energy, so I'm doing it.
I got shot five times today and this cigarette healed me right up.
Yeah, back off. On April 1st, 1993, Virgin Interactive releases The Seventh Guest for PC. Mm-hmm. It sold over 2 million copies and was widely regarded as one of the three killer apps that accelerated the sales of CD-ROM drives, other two being Myst and Doom. Bill Gates also called The Seventh Guest the new standard in interactive entertainment.
Ah, I love The Seventh Guest so much. That was, like, I still love that soundtrack. I remember I got the game and it actually came, you know, the CD-ROM disc for the game. And it came with, you know, the soundtrack on a separate disc. I used to ride around in my car listening to the soundtrack to that game.
You remember when video game soundtracks were a rarity back then? I remember getting the little catalogs in Nintendo Power. And usually they would have a soundtrack to say, like, Ocarina of Time or another N64 game like Banjo-Kazooie. And just getting those, and it was like a huge deal because in the early days of, you know, ripping music, it was tough to find a good quality version of video game music because they would normally have the sound effects in the background. So if you got a CD, that was a huge deal.
Oh, yeah. Even back in the Super Nintendo days, I remember Final Fight, when I found out that you could find the secret menu. You could go to and you could turn up the difficulty and all that stuff, turn up and down like the music and stuff. You could actually play the soundtrack through that menu. So I would just be sitting in my room doing my homework and just put on the like Final Fight soundtrack and just listen to that while I was doing homework.
Now, video game music is so underrated. And it's cool that, you know, even now on platforms like Spotify, I have the Secret of Mana entire soundtrack saved on that, and I'll listen to it, you know, on the way to or from work, or if I'm doing laundry around the house or something like that, I'll just plug my earbuds in and listen to it.
Yeah, Thad Mattis says, best soundtrack is Donkey Kong. Do you mean Donkey Kong Country or the original Donkey Kong? Because there wasn't too much music in the original Donkey Kong, but I do agree with Super Mario World.
Oh, Super Mario World is an incredible soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he says Country. Yeah, Donkey Kong Country, especially that opening. Like that opening intro song, it just sets the tone for the whole game. It's great.
Let's see. April 30th of 1996, LucasArts releases Indiana Jones and his desktop adventures for Windows and Macintosh. And I wonder if they sell this on Good Old Games or Steam. Because we talked about this before. I'd love to go back and play this, a good old point and click Indiana Jones adventure.
And this would be one that I'd be more open to playing because, you know, I never really played the point and click games, but the fact that it's Indiana Jones does intrigue me.
Yeah.
Seems interesting.
LucasArts did really good point and click games back in the day.
I remember you mentioning that a while back. It might've even been this time last year when this came up. But to close us out for this month in video game history, on April 27th of 2000, The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask is released for the N64 in Japan. One of, still the most underrated Zelda games, in my opinion. It has its detractors because a lot of people look at it as just one giant side quest, which it kind of is, but it has one of the more interesting stories in the entire Zelda lore, so... I love Majora's Mask.
I thought Zelda 2 was the most underrated Zelda game.
Well, Majora's Mask being a close second, obviously.
Yuck. People try to defend Legend of Zelda or Zelda 2. I can't help it. I hate that game. It's just, it's so... Maybe if it was something else and not a Zelda game, I probably would have liked it, but... I don't know. I still can't go back and play that game. They just need to redo it altogether.
Yeah, make it top down like the original or Link to the Past.
Thad Mattis says Final Fantasy is better than Zelda 2. You're out of here, buddy. You're getting muted.
I can't really say that I disagree with him. I mean, Zelda 2 is not a good game.
Yeah, I've never played Final Fantasy for any of the Nintendo or Super Nintendo Final Fantasies, but I would probably say they're better than Zelda 2. I hate Zelda 2.
Yeah, it's... Every franchise has that game that you're just like, oh, why did that even happen?
Yeah, let's just pretend this one doesn't exist.
What were we talking about?
Yeah. Before we go into our review for tonight, which I'm excited to get to, Derek has shout outs.
Yes, as always, we'd like to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out Armez Jackson, Xblade07, Daniel Salmon, John Jekyll, aka Mixmaster, Carlos Longoria, Staff Sergeant Sketch, Randy Bailey, Tyler Watson, Justin Olson, Brandon Rutledge, Donner Party of Five, Gus and Penny, and Jason May. The list keeps growing and I love it. I love when I get out of breath reading this thing. It's a good thing. Thank you guys so much for your continued contributions, and because you are keeping us at the $50 level, we will continue to do fun commentary tracks like the one we did this past week with The Real Ghostbusters and The Muppet Show. That was a lot of fun. I haven't watched The Muppet Show in a long time, so that was fun to go back and revisit.
That was a fun episode to do.
It was. And you guys can continue to support us. Keep voting for commentary topics, roundtable topics. You never know when we're going to post a new poll, so always be on the lookout. And if you want to be a part of our awesome Patreon community, just head on over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And if you are a new patron, be sure to give us your social media info so we can give you a proper shout out.
And tonight, Derek's talking about... I gotta say that the theme music kind of rocks.
I'd be lying if I said that I didn't listen to that song on the way home from work today. I had to get myself in the proper mindset for this. So last week you reviewed Yo Noid, and we agreed to do this a while back that, you know, you were going to fall on the sword and do a bad review. So I can't remember exactly how this specific game came up. I think it came up on This Month in Video Game History.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'll review Pepsi Man. I had no clue what the game was even about. But I was like, sure, I'll do it. It sounds fun. There are some games that come along every now and then that really make you appreciate the great games out there, like The Link to the Past, like Ocarina of Time, like Super Mario World. This is one of those games. Pepsi Man is an action game developed and published by, I don't know if it's KID or KID, I say KID just because it's more fun to say, for the PlayStation. It was released in Japan on March 4th, 1999, and is based, I'm reading this verbatim, on the American carbonated soft drink Pepsi's eponymous superhero mascot, which I didn't know that Pepsi had one.
I didn't either. I've never heard of Pepsi until it was on. I knew you were in for a treat because I saw the Angry Video Game Nerd episode on Pepsi Man, like a year ago. And up until then, I have never heard of Pepsi Man in my life.
Yeah, I watched that episode of Angry Video Game Nerd 2 earlier this week. I've gone down a little bit of a Pepsi Man rabbit hole, which has been a little dangerous, but I have survived. It focuses on the player avoiding obstacles by running, dashing, and jumping, while Pepsi Man automatically runs forward through each of the game's stages. So I didn't read about any of this before I started the game. I just literally turned it on and I dove right in. The way it starts is you're watching a live action ad for Pepsi, and you have this older gentleman who gets the Pepsi out of the vending machine, and as he drinks it, you hear the theme song. But he hears it too, and then he stops drinking it, and the music stops. So he just kind of looks around like, what's going on? start sipping it again, you hear Pepsi Pack. Pepsi Pack. I'm like, what is this? Isn't gonna be good. Like I've already got my head in my hand like this. I'm like, this is not gonna be good. It's so cheesy, but I love it. They use like someone pouring Pepsi to cover the screen as like a dissolve to the load screen, which I was like, okay, that was actually kind of cool. Literally what you do, and this is through every stage that I played, and I will preface this by saying I played this game longer than I did Superman 64. With Superman 64, I think I made it like 10 or 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I played this a little bit longer. You literally are at a starting point. You start running. You cannot stop yourself. And you have to jump around obstacles, move around cars to find a vending machine to give drinks to thirsty citizens. That's it.
Okay.
That is your agenda. And all while that same song is playing in the background, you beat level one, you get your score, you go to level two, plays the exact same song, you have the exact same objective. So I'm like, all right, I can kind of see where this game is going. But then you get to the third level, and they change it up on you. You are chased by a giant rolling can of Pepsi. Much like the boulder in Indiana Jones, you are chased by a giant can of Pepsi, all while the Pepsi Man theme song is just blaring in the background. And then after I beat that level, I said I had enough and I stopped playing it.
This makes me... I don't know what to say. Like, is there any boss battles or any storyline other than giving drinks to thirsty citizens?
Not that I saw. So it says here there are four stages, each divided into smaller segments, and each involving the superhero Pepsi Man saving a person who is dehydrated.
Oh, and Pepsi will help with that if you're dehydrated. Like that's the one thing you should drink is Pepsi when you're severely dehydrated.
Well, you're not supposed to.
And it, I guess I mean, I'm waiting for Diabetes Man to make an appearance here.
So the first three stages are based on real locations: San Francisco, New York City, and Texas. The last one takes place in the awesome metropolis of Pepsi City. I did not make it that far, unfortunately. But I don't know. I don't really know where to go from this game, if I'm being perfectly honest. I'm trying to make logical sense out of this when it's something that does not make logical sense. It's based off a character that I didn't even know existed, that I have no tangible proof does exist.
So was this a full price game, or was this some kind of like Pepsi giveaway, or?
I'm not sure. It says here the game was made with a low budget, prompting the decision to make videos in between stages that show a man drinking Pepsi, as they were cheap to produce. The game also features 3D cutscenes for which the future visual novel writer Kotaro Ukiyoshi created 3D models. While an American publisher did look into acquiring the rights to publish the game in the United States, it remained a Japan-exclusive game. That's what I don't get, is that it's a Japanese game based off of an American property.
Yeah, so was, I
but
mean,
it was not released in the U.S.
Is Pepsi a big thing in Japan? Like,
I guess.
So was Pepsi Man, he's an American?
Yes.
I'm trying to get my head straight here.
Side note, this is the first time I've actually drank Pepsi in probably like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. Enjoy that.
Yeah. I surprised Jason off air. When I answered his call, I was holding this like right up to the camera wearing a pair of sunglasses.
So he
Just
was
trying to get in character.
So he was a Pepsi mascot. Apparently it wasn't a very good one because none of us remember Pepsi Man, or was he a mascot for Pepsi in Japan?
Let me Google that real quick, because I'm actually very curious.
I see. A character whose fictional backstory says he used to be a scientist, transformed into a superhero after coming in contact with Holy Pepsi. Holy Pepsi Batman was featured in Japanese Pepsi commercials, and in the Japanese version of the video game Fighting Vipers, he became popular in Japan.
I just had an idea.
What?
They should put Pepsi Man in Smash Brothers.
Dude.
No, I'm kidding.
Why would you put that out in the universe? No.
Could you imagine the hate?
No. Here's the thing. They should do a Smash Brothers type of game, but do all the mascots throughout history. Like, you can play as, like,
yes.
Ronald McDonald against, you know, Pepsi Man.
Grimace would be a freaking tank.
Yeah.
In those games. Oh, my God. You could put the King from
yes.
Burger King. Wendy from Wendy's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of some of the other, like, fast food mascots, but they're all escaping me. You could do like 12 fighters.
Yeah.
I just picture there being like this epic video of like Mario and Sonic fighting, and all of a sudden one of them's thrown into a vending machine and you just hear Pepsi Man.
Ugh. Ugh.
If that happens, you can send all the hate to @Derek_Diamond. On Twitter.
Yeah, apparently Pepsi Man was just a Pepsi mascot in Japan. Because
yeah.
It says he is Pepsi's mascot, which was created for Pepsi's Japanese branch. That's why we don't remember it. I guess he wasn't a thing here.
Which I still find interesting that it's an American property. But I mean, I guess it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. I mean, this would have been, I mean, this has 90s written all over it. I mean, this is something that would have been, you know, done in the 90s, of course.
100%. I will say this. The way the game plays with Pepsi Man, you can't, like, control his speed. Like, he's constantly going. Reminded me of the Sonic and the Secret Rings game for the Wii, because Sonic was the same way. You could control his movement, but he was constantly going forward.
Yeah,
you couldn't go backwards. And it's much like this with Pepsi Man.
It's basically just like an endless runner.
Pretty much. And there's a couple of points here in this Wikipedia article that reviewers frequently compare the game to other games, including Crash Bandicoot. I can see it in a way. If you took the constant moving aspect out of it, it would probably have a little bit of Crash Bandicoot to it.
Yeah. It says a simplified version.
Yes.
Of Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah. A writer for Complex included it on a list of company branded games that didn't suck, commenting that it's not a bad game as long as the player can tolerate the large amount of advertisement in it. And that's literally what it is. It's a walking advertisement, because as you're moving, you know, on the screen, you see a spinning Pepsi logo at the top. You see a Pepsi can, because you collect the cans throughout the level. And it is essentially a giant walking advertisement. But that being said, I have played worse games than Pepsi Man. It's not good by any stretch, and I highly doubt I will ever play it again.
Yeah.
But I have played worse games. Like, I mean, Superman 64 to me is a far worse game than Pepsi Man.
Yeah. Alistair Penzoff at Destructoid said it's gloriously twisted and a gloriously twisted, charming spectacle. Likes it for the sheer lunacy of it. And he said the game was obsessed with America and portrays Americans as unhygienic hillbillies in a manner that makes it unclear if it is a self-aware parody or not.
I like to think that it is a self-aware parody.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah, you can definitely see that throughout the game. But I mean, they've done that. Like, you look at Earthbound. Earthbound, to me, is a parody of Western culture.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of parody in this game as well. But, you know, some of the reviews, Famitsu gave it 25 out of 40. GameFan gave it a 90 out of 100. That is nuts. Gamers Republic gave it a B-, and Joypad gave it a 2 out of 10. And I agree with some of the reviews. Like, it's not a good game. Trust me when I say, like, I'm not defending the gameplay of it. But it's it's like stupid funny in a way. Like, I, looking back on it, like, I don't regret playing it. Like, I don't completely despise it. I won't play it again, but it was just a goofy kind of game that, you know, I thought was stupid, but I got a little chuckle out of it.
Yeah.
Because of the sheer over-the-topness of it.
It sounds like you had a better time playing this than I did Yo-Noid, because Yo-Noid was freaking terrible.
Yeah.
Like, painfully terrible.
And from the gameplay, I will never play Yo-Noid, from what I watched. Mm-mm. I will never play that game. But if I were to rank this on a scale of 1 to 10, I agree with Joypad. I would say probably a 2.
Yeah.
You know, I give a game a 1 for effort, and I'd give it an extra point just because of the sheer goofiness out of it. But you can tell it's a low-budget game. It doesn't really have much direction in it. There's not much of a story to it. It's a walking advertisement.
Yeah, and I can't see people, you know, even back then, games were 50, 60 bucks. I couldn't see anybody paying full price for this type of game. I mean, this had to be something that was either given away as a promotion, or, you know, like, send in, you know, 20 Pepsi UPC symbols or something like that to get Pepsi Man. Like, why would you pay a full price for a game like this?
I don't know. Diehard. No, I'll tell you who probably would. Diehard collectors of Pepsi merchandise.
Yeah, I could see that. But even still, I don't think Pepsi has the same kind of merchandising appeal that Coke has. Like, you know, you see Coke stuff everywhere. Even you go to, like, flea markets and, like, antique stores, and, like, that's a huge market, is, like, the Coca-Cola glass bottles that are, like, for certain things that still have, like, the Coke in them. Like, that's a thing. I don't see Pepsi stuff anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have the name or the notoriety that Coke has. You know, like, people will commonly call other sodas Coke, because it's more than a brand of soda. It is soda to some people.
Well, that
is just so synonymous with that product.
Pepsi is always going to be the also-ran, because, I mean, think about it. When you go to a restaurant and they ask you what you want to drink, and you say, I'll take a Coke, they say, is Pepsi okay? That should be Pepsi's tagline. Pepsi, is Pepsi okay?
Yeah. We have Pepsi products. Is that okay?
No, sure. It's not. Go get me a Coke.
So, random fact, I actually grew up on Pepsi. My parents are more fans of Pepsi than they were Coke. So I grew up having Pepsi in my house. That was one of the reasons why I wanted to review this game, because I thought it would be kind of fun.
I will admit this, though. I think Pepsi Max tastes a lot better than Coke Zero. It's just hard to find anywhere. You can't find it anywhere.
Well, the thing with Pepsi is they would do the specialty drinks, but they would never last very long. I remember in high school, they had a lemon Pepsi that I thought was really good. And then, like, 6 months later, it's gone. And then they do a vanilla Pepsi, which was a little on the sweet side, because Pepsi's already sweet anyway. But it was still good, and then next thing you know, it's gone.
Yeah. Wally has joined us. What's up, Big Wall?
Wally, what's going on?
But yeah. Yeah, he says vanilla ahead. Pepsi was fantastic. I don't like the vanilla drinks. I've never been a fan. I love cherry drinks. Cherry Coke, cherry Pepsi, anything cherry I like.
Man, when I went to go see Godzilla vs. Kong yesterday, I had bag of popcorn, vanilla Coke.
Yeah.
It's my go-to thing. That and some peanut butter M&Ms.
You know what I do miss, though? The only vanilla drink I liked was the, what was it? It was the vanilla, French vanilla, root beer. Not root beer. Was it the French vanilla Barks cream soda? But I don't see it anywhere. That was a big thing when I was a kid, was the French vanilla cream soda.
That does sound really good.
That was great. And I don't even know if they make that anymore. Let me Google that real quick.
I liked the IBC and the Jones cream soda. I know Jones has other flavored drinks too. They have, like, a grape one. They have a green apple one. Those, I haven't had those in a long time. Wally says cream soda is awful.
You hush your face, sir. Get out of my chat room. let's see.
Thad says that you should play Karate Kid and I play Spot.
I don't know if it's still made or not. Cream soda barks. I got a lot of pictures here. It makes me want one looking at the picture. Oh, so good. Yeah, I think they do make it. Dude, just Google it and look at the pictures. Doesn't that can look nice? It looks so good.
French vanilla cream soda.
Here are the nutrition facts. 170 calories, zero fat, 65 milligrams of sodium, 45 grams of carbohydrates, 45 grams of total sugars, and zero protein. Just what the doctor ordered.
I like that can.
Yeah, dude, it tastes so good. I want one. I have to go find one tonight. I need my diabetes fix.
You have to let me know if you find one.
So good.
So, you think we should take a little break from the product placement?
Yeah.
Video games.
Yeah, let's step away for a bit.
I like Thad's idea. I do want to come back and play Spot.
Yeah.
For the Super Nintendo.
Let's wait on that, though. If you do Spot for the Super Nintendo, I'll do the regular Nintendo one.
Okay.
Because I've always wanted to play it, and I never did. And I don't know if it's good or bad. I've never heard anything about that game.
I haven't either. So, yeah, I think we've... Oh, Sneak King. Yeah, that's another one, too. I got to do that one, too.
Yeah, we got to do our mascot roundtable this month, too. So, Wally, I hope you're ready for that.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to have to do some research on that.
Yeah, well, we got a few weeks, so do your research. Gather up your favorite mascots of the last 41 years, and we'll talk about them.
What would you do if I got my hands on a giant moon head from the Mac Tonight commercials?
Dude, I would flip out. You should do that. You should build one. And
I thought about seeing if I could find a king mask and just wear it throughout the first like 20 seconds of the show and just not say anything.
Dude, you could wear it to Pensacon.
Oh my God. do Mac Tonight one day.
Yeah.
I'll be the king for the Nerd Cave Retro panel. I'll be Mac Tonight for defending bad movies.
Yeah, that'll work. And I'll just throw some face paint on and get a red clown wig and be Ronald McDonald.
There we go.
Scare the children. Hey, kids!
You want a hamburger?
Do you want to be unhealthy? Come eat my burgers. Oh, man. But that's our the review for Pepsi Man. So I don't think it was as bad as you thought it was going to be.
No, and like I said, it's not a good game, but it was bad in almost the fun type of way.
Yeah. Wish I could say the same for Yo Noid. Not sure what I'm doing next week. I gotta figure something out. So I want to play something good. So we'll see.
I'm gonna review Fire and Ice in 2 weeks for the NES.
Okay. I'm not sure. I got to do something good. So I need to get on that this weekend. I got a 3-day weekend to come up with something.
For sure.
But that's going to do it for this episode. Anything you would like to tell the people about the Derek Diamond Experience before we leave this evening?
Yeah, I actually got to do a really fun live show earlier this week. It's a delay from the show I was going to do, I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago. It was essentially the 7-year anniversary show where I did an Ask Derek Anything type show. It was really fun. Rampage was in the chat along with several other people, talked about the Snyder Cut of Justice League, the upcoming Obi-Wan series, a lot of cool stuff talked about on this week's show. So that's out now on all podcasting platforms. Just search for the Derek Diamond Experience. And if you want to follow me on social media, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at D Diamond Podcast.
And go check out the Open Micers podcast. Last week's episode we did, we talked to Stephen Perkins of Jane's Addiction. And then this last weekend we did our extra Patreon episode. Patty Dwyer comedian Patty Dwyer returns for the extra episodes. So you got two new episodes to listen to. We're taking this week off. So that's why there was no show earlier tonight. And we're moving to Wednesdays too next Wednesday night. So we'll have Open Micers and Nerd Cave Retro on the same night again, but on Wednesdays. So be prepared next Wednesday evening at Open Micers on Twitter.
Real quick, I forgot to mention, I did add some new perks to the Patreon my show. So for as little as $3 a month, you get to vote on the monthly top five discussions that I know people love. So you can check out patreon.com/ddiamondpodcast for that and some other fun perks that were added as well. So if you're interested, go check that out.
Oh, and we talked about it. It's actually on our latest Patreon episode for the commentary tracks that we did for this month. We talked about what we would do for another perk, because at the $50 level, you guys have kept us above the $50 level where we do the commentary tracks. But I figure if we get to the $100 level, $100 a month, we will do the commentary tracks in our Nerd Cave Retro Discord chat, so you can listen to us do it live while we record it. So if you get us to the $100 level, you'll be able to join us as we record those commentary episodes. How do you like that?
I think that's a brilliant idea.
I like it.
It's almost like a watch party.
It is, sort of. Only you can't talk to us while we're doing it.
Yeah.
You get to listen. Live watch along. You can't join in, but you can listen. Listen live.
Oh, and also congrats to Thad. He says he is getting married June 26th.
Awesome. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody getting married. I feel for you. Run!
Good.
But,
good stuff.
That's it for the episode tonight. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And let me pull up our end of show notes here while I play our music. If you would like to email us, send us your anything you want to talk to us about. You can send us articles, whatever. Send it to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. We're at nerdcaveretro.com. We're on Instagram and Twitter at nerdcaveretro, and individually at jfantastic and at Derek_diamond. Get our merch at ncrmerch.com. We're at facebook.com/nerdcaveretro, and of course our Patreon at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And if you can't do that, can't throw us a couple bucks a month, I get it. Times are hard right now. If you can't do it, go leave a review wherever fine podcasts are given away for free. So, Derek, please tell them what it's all about. Pepsi Mac!
Oh, a fellow checker, eh?